Mountain Home,
yeah.
Okay, well, let's see. Let me. It's about time to start, so why don't I just give Ed Hallsman an opportunity to go ahead and hit the... just a second. Hey, this is the bank calling me, Mike. Hang on. This is Dr. Jim. How can I help you? Janet? Listen. Yeah, she's... is this the bank? Hey, do me a favor. Can I call you back at 10 o'clock? I'm on the radio right now. Oh, okay. Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye. Okay. When the bank calls you, I'm not sure, Mike, whether you need to answer that phone or not, whether they're looking for money or whether they're wanting to give you some. I'm not sure.
You never know.
No, Janice checks are in. So, okay, buddy. We'll go ahead. Let me give Ed about 5 seconds to get ready here, and then I'll just I'll go ahead.
Okay.
Hello, friends. This is Dr. Jim Bertel coming to you live from my home here in Maumelle, Arkansas. And this is Monday morning, and we're pleased to have Pastor Mike Smith on with us from Country Bible Church in Brenham, Texas. And good morning again, Mike.
Good morning, Dr. Jim. How are you doing?
Sir, I'll tell you what, I'm doing just absolutely phenomenal and doing even better now that I got you on the line with me. This is a great day of the week. I like my interviews, my guest appearances, and obviously I have five guest appearances this week, but every day is sort of special to me, and it's special when I know Monday's coming since we can be talking about your book in progress, Tolerating Tyranny. So let's tell our folks again what your website is and your email address in case they'd want to get in touch with you, Mike.
Okay, our church website is countrybiblechurch.us, and my website is Mike, M-I-K-E, 44, G-V, as in greenvine, at gmail.com.
That's your email address?
Yeah, that's my email
address. Okie dokie. Well, Mike, we've been considering your book, Tolerating Tyranny. We've been trying to deal with this one chapter at a time, and I'm not sure how many weeks we've been on together now, but we're almost through chapter one now. Almost. But and I would hope that maybe you don't think we're progressing too slowly, but here's the idea. You are a guest on my program, and I want this program to be about you and what you want to tell our folks. And so if... somewhere along the line, as I'm sort of guiding this along through the chapter from one chapter to another, if you want to deviate and go on somewhere else, you feel free to do it, okay? Because, quite honestly, while I'm hosting, this is really your program. It's about you and your ministry. So you feel free to do that if you'd like to. Is that all right?
Well, sure. I appreciate that.
Okay, pal. Well, we were in chapter one the last time we stopped, and that chapter is entitled The Passing of Time Brings Change. And I'd indicated to you that because of the dumbing down of the public school students over the last 100 years, most Americans are oblivious to understanding the great Americans of the past. And we began to talk about Dr. David Ramsay, I guess, R-A-M-S-A-Y, and on July the 4th, 1794, 18 years after the Declaration of Independence was signed, he made some comments and statements, and you were dealing with those last week. So, if you will... let me see. I'm going to scroll down to where we were. I want you to pick up. Yeah, I'm going to want you to pick up in our notes and continue on with what Ramsay said, and you just comment on that as you go. Any way you want to comment, and if you want to go through it fast, go through it fast. You just comment as you like, but I want our people to hear what this guy said. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, I think we ended where he picks it up, saying our rulers taken from the people, then he has in parentheses, and at stated periods returning to them, in the parentheses, have the strongest incitement to make the public will their guide and the public good their end. And when you reflect on our time, and you think about him saying for what he's saying is that politicians are in service for a time, and then for stated periods of time, then returning back to the people. Mm-hmm. And I did a little research on one of the senators. You may have heard of him before, Senator Robert Byrd.
Oh, yes.
He's the late Senator Robert Byrd now. Mm-hmm. Was a U.S. representative for 6 years, and a U.S. senator for 51 years.
Yes.
He was from West Virginia, and he served a total of 57 years in Congress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, this certainly isn't what Dr. Ramsey was stating of how it was mm-hmm. when the country was first founded. We had people who would go in and they would serve for a term, or maybe, I don't know, some of them may have served for a couple of terms, but none of them made a lifetime career as a politician.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be what's happening today. When you have someone in there like Senator Byrd for a total of 57 years in Congress,
mm-hmm.
you don't get fresh ideas. There are so many areas where he can have an inordinate amount of power because of his seniority and
yes.
because of the alliances that he has formed. I just don't think that's a good idea of how things operate today. What do you think?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think I would be in favor today of term limits. As a matter of fact, we have a talk show host here that's in the terrestrial radio arena, and he indicated that he thought he would run for Congress, but if he did, he would tell his people in his campaigning that he would run for only one term, period.
I think that's maybe they could have one term and sit out a term or
yes.
come back. I'm not sure, but
mm-hmm.
it's just I think when people are in there and they are in there for a long period of time, they get more power and more power, and
mm-hmm,
I don't think
mm-hmm.
that's the way it was designed.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing that it says in what he just said is talking about the public will be the their guide, will be and it will they serve for the public good and their end. And I think hardly is that the case today.
Oh, yes.
For the most part, their guide is to do whatever is necessary to get reelected. And that takes money. We know that. So it's the moneyed interests that hire lobbyists that influence politicians today, not the people.
Mm-hmm.
And they spend so much time. Essentially, right after they win an election, they're already starting again to amass all the funds that they're going to need to get reelected, because it takes scads of money for people to win an election these days. And rather than being concerned about the public will, and they're good, they're collecting money so they can stay in power.
And
there was this idea about doing things for the public good and the public will. I don't remember how many years ago it was, but there was a proposition in California. I don't remember the number. You know, they have, I think it was Proposition 8, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm,
I'm just kind of
mm-hmm.
guessing there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it was a proposition where the people
yes.
had come together and overwhelmingly voted to throw out these unfunded mandates from the federal government
mm-hmm.
because they were just being financially ruined by providing all of the education and the welfare. And the Child Protection Services have come in and taken care of all the mm-hmm. children's mm-hmm. needs. And anyway, they were just about to go broke. And so it was overwhelmingly voted for. And yet there was one federal judge that overturned the mandate of the people. That's all it took was one. And that's not the will of the people being exercised. Do you see it that way?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, you just described a Prop 8, and I'm not sure whether that's the right number or not. But I think your analysis is correct. But there was another occasion when the will of the people was overturned by a judge when they voted in California to indicate that marriage was the union of one man and one woman, and there was a homosexual judge that overturned that.
Well, I know, and it's I don't, if I was living in California then and I had to continue to bear that burden,
oh yes,
I wouldn't be a happy camper.
No, I wouldn't either, and I can't figure out why Phil Mickelson, the golfer, when he indicated he was going to move to Texas because of the taxation and the amount of money that he, and they got after him and he backed down. I don't understand. I just don't understand it, Mike.
Well, there's a lot of people that are intimidated.
Oh, sure.
That seems to be mm-hmm. the course that most have taken. And that's really what this book is about, is to inform people, to enlighten them through
yes.
biblical principles and through quotes, tremendous quotes from men of character that mm-hmm. weren't afraid and weren't intimidated. And hopefully this might change the mindset of people to see that they do have rights and they don't come from the government and that they will be unintimidated when it comes to standing for those.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, anyway, I'll go on the next little phrase here.
It says,
it is one of the peculiar privileges we enjoy in consequence of independence that no individual, no party interest, no foreign influence can plunge us into war. And I think about, is that something you need to answer?
No, that was, I think when someone logs on or something like that, I get the ding-dong.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Anyhow, this is such an important principle. I mean, it is imperative that people understand how important it is what this man had just said, Dr. Ramsey,
yes.
in his oration. Because what existed then does not exist today. We're talking about the declaration of war that is required in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that was put there, that it has to be a declaration of war by Congress,
yes.
not the President, but
yes.
by Congress, so that it is many men coming together, men and women, who are going to decide whether we are going to war or not. But when you have just one person in charge that can plunge us into war, then we're going back into the system of the divine right of kings, because
mm-hmm.
in
That's
that
right.
period of time, a king on a whim or for whatever desire he wanted to could plunge his country into war. And of course, that's what the founders were trying to keep from happening. And if you remember, World War II was the last war that the United States was in where a formal declaration of war was declared.
That's correct.
So after that, we had the Korea War. And to get around this, at that time, to get around this idea that you have to have a declaration of war, they didn't call it a war. They called it a police action.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, can you imagine a war on that scale being called a police action? But I that's what they called it.
Absolutely.
And then we had the Vietnam War. Excuse me. By the time we had the Vietnam War, they just dropped the police action because people, excuse me, had been... had grown accustomed to us going to war without a declaration. And then, of course, we've had the Gulf War, we had the Iraq War, the war in Afghanistan. These are some of the major wars. Of course, we've had lesser incursions that we would go in and have military action. But that's just to show you how far we have strayed from the clear precepts of the Constitution.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Mike. In terms of all that you've just said, 100% agreement. But for our listening audience, let's come back now and tie that in. Why is this so important for a Bible-believing, born-again Christian to understand what it is that you're saying? So, again, it goes back that, well, so what, you know? So what, Mike? You got all these facts. Tell us how you tie that into what's going on today as far as the Bible's concerned.
Well, we are to have God as our ultimate authority.
Okay.
And, of course, it's not, some would say, maybe correctly, that it's not as bad today because we don't have the draft. In other words, we have men and women who volunteer
sure.
to go into the military.
Mm-hmm.
It's, of course, during the Vietnam and the Korean War, that we had the draft then. But even when they volunteer to go into the military, they have to follow orders. And orders today are not to go into combat, to go into a war. In my opinion, are not in order to defend this country. I think it's in order to do the will of the United Nations, to be, some would say that we're, our military are, I've heard the term global cops.
Yeah.
And that we are, once we go into an area, for instance, like in Iraq, then everything changes. They were defeated, but then it changes, it morphs into nation building.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to secure the perimeters around a country on the other side of the earth when we can't even defend the perimeters around our own country.
Absolutely.
I mean, all these things start to develop when you get away from the Constitution, you get away from the will of the people.
Let me bring something up here again too, because I'd like to be clear about this. You know, you and I would be constitutionalists, if I could say it that way. We believe in the Constitution of the United States as being the highest form of law in our country. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that Barack Obama and the progressives, the liberals of this country, also indicate that they are following the Constitution. They're just interpreting it somewhat differently than you and I do. Isn't that a problem, Mike?
Well, I think that's just a cop-out. I mean,
yeah.
The Constitution is clear. The issue that we're talking about that's at hand right now,
mm-hmm.
about the declaration of war, that's not a matter of interpretation. I mean, mm-hmm. a person that can read the English language, that speaks the English language and can read, they can understand for themselves
mm-hmm.
what the Constitution says. And to say that it's just an interpretation is simply is not right. It's really an insult, I think, to people to say, well, it's not a matter mm-hmm. of we're ignoring the Constitution. It all has to do with interpretation. And I say that's baloney.
Yeah, I do too. But you know, I think we have the same problem with the Bible and denominationally and sect wise in our country. You and I begin by believing that the Bible should be interpreted literally, except we find allegory, parables, etc. But we start out with a literal interpretation of the Bible. And I think if we start out that same way with the Constitution, we would come up with the notion that we would be interpreting in the same way as our founding fathers. But here again, we've got this crowd out here that believes that the Bible is not just literally, but there's a deeper meaning there. And they want to allegorize and all that kind of stuff. I think that's exactly what's happening with the Constitution, with the liberals and the progressives. They're leading the people to believe that there's a deeper meaning here that we ought to get. And I think that the masses are just buying that kind of nonsense.
Yeah, they just kind of tuned out.
Yeah.
You know, the founders had the built into the Constitution the separation of powers, where one branch would not be would be superior to the
mm-hmm,
others.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have the executive branch that can take us to war, that means that the Congress is complicit with it, because one thing that the executive branch cannot do is fund a war. And if the Congress would not fund the initiatives that are taken by the executive, by the president, to plunge us into a war that is undeclared, then it wouldn't happen. And I think, let me give you an example.
Please do.
When they were trying to decide whether we were going to go into Iraq or not, even in the Gulf War, that was the first Bush,
mm-hmm.
or President Bush, when they were trying to decide what to do, the elder Bush did not go to the Congress to get a declaration of war. He went to the United Nations to get approval, and the Congress sat right there and let that happen. And the reason is because the Congress doesn't want to be held accountable if things go wrong in the war. I mean, if things start going bad, it's more important for them not to be accountable than it is to stand up and have their duty of not allowing us to be plunged in war by the decisions of one man.
Absolutely.
So, and same thing with the judicial branch to make decisions that allow the executive branch to plunge us into war, without holding their feet to the fire with what the Constitution says. They're complicit, but Dr. Jim, they're not the only ones that are complicit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
American people are as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Because,
well, you know, Mike, there's just this past week, I became aware of, and I was trying to think of the number while you were talking here. You mentioned the separation of powers, the executive, the judicial, the legislative branch, and in 2012, I believe it was, President Obama signed an executive order, and I was trying to think the number, was it 36606 or something like that, but it's a big number. He signed an executive order that gave him control of a whole list of things. It was the energy, the water, you name it. This guy signed this executive order where he now is in power to do anything he wants in all of those fields, the banking field, etc. And when you see that list, it's absolutely unbelievable. And quite honestly, I don't ever remember hearing about him signing that executive order. And when it happened, the press and others were saying, well, liberals were saying, well, you know, that's okay. It's going to be for our own benefit. Well, you know for a fact that what he's done is he's just taken control and he's usurping authority over Congress, etc. So it's not good, brother.
Well, where I ask you a question, ask anybody the question, where do you find even the term executive orders in the Constitution? It's not there.
Well, you've enlightened me about that. I what I have heard is that somewhere along the line, I've heard people indicate that it's within the frame of the Constitution for him to do that. I don't know where or how. You've helped me to understand something here that I didn't know. But go ahead from there, sir.
How about czars? Where do you see czars?
Oh, yeah.
in the Constitution?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, these are things that have developed over time, and what has happened is that separation of power has broken down.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And when someone, and it's not, I don't know, probably most of the listening audience recognizes that we're not talking about something that is rare to have an executive order. President mm-hmm. Lincoln issued executive orders. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not sure whether he's the first one that did or not. I think mm-hmm. he might be. Uh-huh. But the presidents today issue hundreds of executive orders.
I'm telling you, yes.
And some of them are even sealed to where they'll have an executive order, and if the press goes in and tries to find out what they are, they don't even reveal what they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're clandestine.
Yes.
They're sealed. Then that just amazes me how that can happen. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting off track.
You're doing good. You're all right. What I would hope we're doing, Mike, is to help to inform our listening audience live and those that will listen sometime or other on the recording off of iTunes, get the idea that there are people like you and I out here who are not just right-wing wackos, but we're coming to them from the Bible, a biblical standpoint, to say that we are in deep, deep trouble in this country. And the bottom line for me is that when our freedom goes, then we have no freedom to worship as we desire. We have no freedom to evangelize. We have no freedom to send out missionaries. And we have no freedom to be a friend of Israel. And in the resolution of the Angelic conflict, that's pretty disastrous, my brother.
That's what a lot of people, I think, don't realize, is that a lot of Christians, a lot of believers think, well, this is all secular. And as long as I'm able to do my thing, worship-wise, then I'm good to go. They don't realize that the two are inextricably
yes.
linked.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Once the freedom in the civil realm goes, in the secular realm, then the freedom in the religious realm is linked to it as well.
Absolutely.
You know
absolutely.
That? So,
on to wherever you want to go, sir.
Huh?
I said on to wherever you want to go.
Okay, one other thing I was thinking about while we're talking about
mm-hmm.
these restrictions, these boundaries that the Constitution puts on government that has been ignored for so long a time, and we're just talking about the tip of the iceberg. But way it is designed is that Congress is the one that does all the legislating. They're the ones that make the bills,
yes,
the laws, and they send it to the executive, to the president. Now, what the Constitution has is that the president can either sign that, which means he agrees with it and becomes law,
uh-huh,
or he cannot sign it, which is a veto, and it has to go back to the Congress, and then I think it's two-thirds of the Congress can over can vote and override his veto. But what is happening now is that we have presidents that make signing statements. Are you familiar with that?
What kind of statements?
Signing statements.
Fine.
In other words, when they receive a bill from the Congress,
okay,
they don't either sign it or reject it or veto it. They make signing statements. They will say, according to what I understand, this is what this bill is saying. And then they can essentially provisions in there.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And send it back to the Congress. Well, that has become a standard practice. And yet, that's not at all the way the Constitution has designed it to work. And why the Congress would put up with that, and why the press doesn't make this very clear to the people what's going on, I would say is a mystery to me, but it's not a mystery. I know why it's happening.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
It's collusion. It's happening. And the people are asleep at the wheel. Most of them don't even know it's happening.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And yet what I'm saying is we're not functioning according to the design of the Constitution, and that just puts us deeper and deeper into being under tyranny.
Well, you know, Mike, I just found this executive order that I was talking about, and I'd like for our listening audience to listen to this. Executive Order number 13603, titled Emergency and Non-Emergency Powers. This is an executive order signed by Barack Obama. He said one of the most frightening Obama edicts to come down the pike is Executive Order 13603 on, quote, National Defense Resources Preparedness, unquote. Issued a little over a year ago on March 16, 2012. The executive order is frightening because of its sweeping scope, explicitly declaring that the president and his designated cabinet and agency heads have authority to commandeer and control, here it is, all water, all human and animal food, all transportation, all energy, all construction materials, all health resources, all farm equipment, all fertilizers, all fuels, and much more. He has the capacity to commandeer and control all of that by executive order, bypassing Congress and everything else.
Well, that's just one.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. Well, if this one was thick 13603, I guess that means there's at least 13,602 prior to that.
This is what I'm... It's so dangerous.
Sure.
That the average American, I don't believe, understands that this is contrary to the way our country was created. We're not functioning according to the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And the people are ignorant of these things that are going on. And like this executive order that you're talking about, mm-hmm, was passed, and life goes on. People don't find anything that's any different.
Yeah.
Except when it says when there's emergency,
yes,
they can take over.
Yeah.
This. Well, who decides whether it's emergency or not?
Hello, very good. Very
they
good.
Do.
Mm-hmm.
And once that's taken place, the rights of the people to have these necessities, which God has made available to us, is no longer controlled by us.
That's
and
right.
Who decides who's going to get the water? And who's going to decide how these things are distributed? I mean, it's complete control. And people don't notice it now, but these are things just, mm-hmm, lying under the surface that can go into effect at any time,
mm-hmm,
that can drastically change our way of life overnight.
Well, you know, here again, we just saw this past week where the IRS has been threatening 501c3 organizations, and most of them were related to the Tea Party, but that's been going on. It's amazing, and here again, I can't imagine why it was Bill Bennett who wrote the book The death of outrage? The death of outrage. And I can't figure out why, when I even see the news commentators, for the conservatives, why they are not outraged when these congressmen, Republican congressmen, get on television. Why are they not outraged by these kind of things? It's hard for me to understand, Mike.
Well, the book that I've written is not to, you use the term outrage, and I think absolutely we should be outraged, mm-hmm. but it's not to stir the people into an emotional
mm-hmm.
state.
Yes,
what
sir.
It is to start them to thinking.
To think, yes.
Most of it is that they're uneducated regarding the our rights,
sure.
Regarding the freedom that is incrementally just being swept away. They know that something is drastically wrong, but there's not many that are trying to enlighten them so that they will think for themselves, because most people haven't, the quotes that are in, mm-hmm. excuse me, in this book, people never heard them because the government has essentially taken over education.
Mm-hmm.
And they're certainly not going to have quotes in there that's going to be contrary to their agenda.
You mean sort of like what happened with the Benghazi deal when they had 12 different 12 different sets of talking points?
I don't know what's going to happen with that. It's very interesting. It appears that some people are really trying to get down to the bottom to find mm-hmm. out what really happened and about the cover up.
Yeah.
And anybody that watches Fox News, what is it? Huckabee is making an effort at trying to expose the cover up.
Mm-hmm.
There are some that are predicting that this could be the Watergate that is the downfall of this administration.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's the case,
mm-hmm.
but at least it's heartening to see that someone is at least awake enough to make
sure.
this an issue.
Yeah. Well, I heard Judge Jeanine on Fox News the other night and had Colonel Hunt on, and both of them. I mean, I wish I'd had written, was the person who had written Judge Jeanine's talking points when she was on the other night. I'd never heard anybody any more clear about what was going on. And she flat called Obama a liar. And when Colonel Hunt came on, he used the same term. And when she was interviewing a congressperson, she asked him, ask that person, do you believe that they have lied? You never heard such a song and dance in all your life from this Republican trying to do it. He talked around that thing so much, and I thought, you know, if he would just say, I believe that they're lying until they prove themselves differently. I'll tell you, it was just song and dance, pal.
Well, when I heard that this attack on the on the embassy occurred, and they were given the line that, well, the reason is because the Muslims were upset because of a video.
Yes, mm-hmm.
because of I don't know, if it was a movie or a video.
It was a video. Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, this is just typical. Could the fact that they are, that Islam condemns Christianity and Judaism, and they see us as the great Satan, that wouldn't have anything to do with it, would it? No, it's because of some video. And I thought, do they think we're stupid?
Yes, I about five times a week I think that that same thing, Mike. Sure enough.
Yeah. So, I guess you ready to press on?
Well, yeah, whenever. This is your program.
Okay, because we could linger over this one a while.
We can just go where, as long as we're being relevant to what's going on contemporarily, so that the people that are listening to us can understand that at least you and I, we think there's something drastically wrong in this country, and we're trying to expose it.
Yeah, and that's what we're looking at from Dr. Ramsey. He's mm-hmm. talking about how they were functioning correctly under the Constitution,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and that no one person, no foreign influence, no party interest, no individual to plunge us into war, because they were abiding by the Constitution.
Sure.
And what I'm pointing out is that that's no longer the case. We're not following the Constitution. Even, for instance, in the war on Iraq, the president and his secretary of defense were telling us actually just bold-faced lies, trying to connect Iraq with Al-Qaeda, and also that there were weapons of mass destruction and these type of things in order to get us over there. And then once we get over there, there is no weapons of destruction. There was no link between the two. And what are the consequences? Was anyone impeached? Did any heads roll? No. They just get by with it. And that's why we continue to be in the shape that we're in.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
So anyway, I'll just move on to the next one.
Okay.
And he says, he goes on to say, think of the cruel war now carrying on by kings and nobles against the equal rights of man. Call to mind the slaughtered thousands whose blood is daily shedding on the plains of Europe, and let your daily tribute of thanks ascend to the common parent of the universe who has established you in a separate government exempt from participating in these hard scenes. Here we have this very honorable man giving credit where credit is due, and that he calls the common parent of the universe.
Yeah.
He, of course, is talking about God.
Yes.
And he says, who has established you in a separate government exempt from participating in these hard scenes. So he's thanking God that the people are not subjugated to the whim of one person to take you into these meat-grinding wars that just decimate the cream of the crop of the young people in the country. Mm-hmm. So then he goes, excuse me.
Sure.
He says, upon an average, he's going to shift now. He's going to talk about taxes. So he says, upon an average, 5 of our citizens do not pay as much to support of government as 1 European subject.
Mm-hmm.
The whole sum expended in administering the public affairs of the United States is not equal to the 4th part of what is annually spent in supporting one crowned head in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's one thing I wanted to point out about what he just said is noticing where it's located right after he talks about not being able to, that one man cannot plunge us into wars. Then he goes into the expense and essentially the taxing power in order to develop and to promulgate these wars. In other words, the wars are extremely expensive, and not only is it the deaths and the wounded, which is horrible in itself, but also now he's talking about the expense. One reason that they didn't have to be under that legal plunder is what Bass J calls it, of the government taking from the people in order to fund these wars, is because of the Constitution, that they abided by it, and that happened. So I'm going to say a lot more about the taxing in a little while. I don't want to go over it here, but I just thought I'd bring up that point.
That's fine, Mike. Mm-hmm.
So then he says, in these states, property and personal rights are well secured. Time would fail to enumerate all of the superior advantages our citizens enjoy that free government to which independence gave birth.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't be great if we could say that.
Well, you're right.
The states, and he says that property and personal rights are well secured. And I'm thinking, you brought out a point, I think it was last time, that I want to reiterate.
Okay.
You said our money is our property.
Mm-hmm.
What about that? I mean, and of course that's taken forcibly by government through taxation.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
People a lot of times don't stop to think about the government has no money. I mean, they print money, and that's another issue, but I'm talking about they have no wealth of it, of its own. It all has to come from the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever we have exorbitant taxation, it's the same as an infringement upon our property. And so when he says, in these states, property and personal rights are well secured, I would say that I don't believe we are in that state where our property, and I'll talk about in a minute, that our rights are well secured. Would you?
No, sir. I agree wholeheartedly. I don't think they are well secured.
And what's happening at the present time, talking about personal rights, I would say, what about the personal right to self-defense? This is a God-given right that is, of course, a natural right that is essential just in order to survive. And that right is under vicious attack today with the gun, all of the gun control issues that are going through the media and going through the Congress and so forth at the present time. The right to not get groped at the airport.
Yeah.
That's a personal freedom that people, 20 years ago would never even dream that when you would go to the airport that you would be put through that type of indignity.
Yes.
And so anyway, I'm just trying to parallel what's happening today with some of the things that Dr. Ramsey is saying.
Yeah, well, you know, for just a second, I'm not sure whether you, when you brought up this thing about gun rights, have you seen on television over the last couple of days the young man that has made a gun out of a 3D printer?
Yes, I saw that. At least a couple of months ago or so.
Oh, did you really?
Somebody sent it to me as an attachment on an email. And it was a YouTube, and I went to it, and there was a video to show exactly how you can do this. I mean, they can make anything of it, but they can make a gun. And this is something that you would think you would see on a sci-fi movie. That's taking place now. And then, I don't know if it was on Alex Jones' show, I heard it from somewhere that... This guy was saying this essentially is going to be the antidote to all this gun control because they can't stop them from making these. I guess I ought to explain what we're. Do you want to explain what we're talking about?
No, go ahead. That's fine. I saw him last night on Lou Dobbs on Fox News on Lou Dobbs. Mm-hmm. Guy was so cool. I mean, he was so composed, and he was talking about how that the government has no right to do this, and here they've made this gun. And what I understand is that when you tell about this, that 3D printer, apparently the price is skyrocketing on that thing now.
Go ahead. Say a little bit about it.
Yeah.
To first explain it, when he's talking about a 3D printer, he's talking about the technology is there now, and this is being done to where someone could take something like a wrench. This is what I saw on the video, just a crescent wrench. And they would put it in this machine and kind of put a lid down over it, just like you would a regular coffee machine. Mm-hmm. And they would push the button. It would go through this process, and there's resins and things in there. Anyway, when it's done, you have you have cloned that crescent wrench. In other words, now you have made a crescent wrench. And you know, I can't remember if they had. I don't know whether they had the original crescent wrench in there or just a sketch with all the dimensions and all the things that they needed to do it. Anyway, they can take something that is abstract and make something that is tangible, like a real wrench. You take it out of the printer and you dust it off, and there you have a wrench. Well, what they started doing was taking a gun, like a handgun, putting it in a 3D printer, and they can make another gun from that.
Yes.
And so the guy that was on the show that I was watching said that this is the antidote to this gun controls because government can't touch it. Well, I just saw, I think it was this past week, that the government now is taking they can't make copy machines. Mm-hmm. The government's not allowing them to make guns now.
Yeah, well, I think I'm going to run out and buy one of those 3D 3D printers real quick, like just in case I need to arm myself.
If anybody that's listening would like to find, if this is foreign to you, you haven't heard this before, if you have a computer, can get on the internet, you just Google 3D printing, and you'll be amazed what all they can do with it. But here, not only is the government now shutting that down, but I guess you know that the bill has already, the Senate has voted in order to have sales tax on all purchases that are made on the internet. It used to be that if you bought something from a business that was located in your state, then you had to pay a sales tax. But the Supreme Court had ruled, I don't remember what year it was, 2000 maybe, I don't know. Anyway, that they could not tax merchandise that's purchased in other states. But now they have done that, which is going to make all these businesses tax gatherers for the government on the internet. And it's just another thing where the encroachment continues. And it's going to be very interesting to see how that is going to develop, whether the Congress is going to go along with it or not.
Well, Mike, this is why I purchased every computer that I've ever purchased in my life. I purchased them through Dell in Texas because I didn't have to pay the taxes. And I imagine that over the years, I believe that I've personally purchased somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 computers from Dell. But these were not all my own. But somebody would come to me and say, "What do you recommend about a computer?" And I said, "Let me recommend something. Let me tell you where to get it." And we bought them all through Dell because from Arkansas we weren't having to pay the sales tax.
Can you imagine the humongous amount of funds that are going to be collected? If this comes to pass.
Oh, absolutely.
It just goes back to the insatiable lust for Congress. For spending, they just can't get enough to satisfy them. I don't think all the funds, all the money, all the wealth in the world would satisfy them. They're still going to want more.
Well, there's no doubt.
It all goes along with the idea of big government.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But anyway, let's see.
Move on, brother. You're doing fine.
I'm trying to remember where I was. Oh yeah, property and personal rights are well secured. And then we were talking about the Second Amendment and the right to self-defense. And why should the government prevent anyone, any company, from doing this to own a gun? Because after all, what it does is just make available to people, law-abiding citizens, things that they need in order to protect themselves.
Yeah.
For people who want to use this, you can have customized guns, you can have special orders, you can have all these things. A government that is not afraid of the government that is not afraid of the people will allow that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, but a government that is afraid of the people are going to try to shut that down because they have an ulterior motive.
Yeah.
A free people are armed people, and any government that's trying to curtail freedom is going to be one that is going to shut down a 3D copy machine that is going to have thousands of gun control type laws, and with the whole thing behind it for them is it's for the good of the people.
We know, Mike,
it's for your own good. It's for your own safety.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I agree with the colonel in the sense that he divided truth into three categories: the laws of divine establishment and the four divine institutions. Then there was the gospel and the royal family honor code. And I believe that through legalism, that the church has destroyed the Royal Family Honor Code. I think that the church has destroyed the gospel. 90% plus are teaching a work salvation. The only thing left then that wasn't destroyed, except for that handful, that remnant out there that had the truth, the only thing left was the laws of divine establishment and the four divine institutions, and namely the divine institution number one, which is freedom. And I can't help, I hurt for people who don't understand how important freedom is in the relationship to resolving the angelic conflict. Take freedom away and Satan wins.
Well, freedom is something that is abstract to most people today, especially the younger people.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Because they haven't known the freedom that we have known mm-hmm. in our younger years. When back in the 50s, you can remember the 50s.
Absolutely.
Maybe a large number of the listening audience can remember the 50s. It was back in what they might call the Mayberry days, the days of Andy
sure.
Griffith, where
mm-hmm.
no one locked their doors and people would let their children go down the street to play with the neighbors or go to the park.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand that was the norm, and because people had the freedom to do that. But now you have, of course, those type of things. How many people don't lock their doors anymore?
Yeah.
Because their right to privacy and property was respected. It was even respected by other people.
Yeah.
So there was crime, but it wasn't crime to the mm-hmm. degree that we have it today. But things have changed now to the point to where people are not so, I think they're more afraid of the government power than they are the power of the criminal. In other words, if you go on a trip and you have to decide, am I going to carry a weapon with me or
sure.
not? I think a lot of people are not carrying a weapon where normally they would for self-defense because they're more afraid of what the government might do
sure. mm-hmm.
if they have a weapon,
yeah.
Especially if they don't have a permit or a license, which in my opinion is totally contrary
yeah.
to people have the right to keep and bear arms.
Yeah. Well, so, Mike, let me give you an illustration of the 50s versus 2013. In 1954, I was in the United States Navy in Bainbridge, Maryland, in hospital corps school, and we would get liberty around 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon, and I would leave there. I had no transportation. I would leave the base, and I would hitchhike. Listen, I would hitchhike from Bainbridge, Maryland, across the Pennsylvania Turnpike to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and down a 2-lane highway from Pittsburgh to Georges Run, Ohio. And I would, this on Friday afternoon, I had to be back on Monday morning at 8 o'clock. So Sunday afternoon, Mike, I would start in Georges Run, Ohio, and I would hitchhike back to Bainbridge, Maryland, and get there sometime before midnight on Sunday.
You were a brave soul.
I did that every week.
Yeah.
I had a girlfriend and a family back home, and I would, from Friday afternoon at 4 until Sunday night, I would hitchhike back and forth over 300 miles. Across the Pennsylvania Turnpike and two-lane highways. It would be insane to do that today.
Well, have you ever noticed that when you older people like us can remember, it wasn't unusual at all to go to travel any distance and you would see hitchhikers?
Oh, absolutely.
You don't see hitchhikers anymore.
And listen, and even pick them up, Mike.
Yes, sure.
Pick up hitchhikers.
Sure. Yeah, that's just absolutely... Even... for men who are a big, strong man that is full of confidence and so forth, even they don't pick up hitchhikers anymore. Well, for one reason, you don't see them, but for another reason, things have changed, and that's what this chapter was about. That time brings change.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, keep on. We got about 5 minutes left. Keep going, brother.
Okay. Let's see. I'll just go to the next part he's
sure.
saying
mm-hmm.
here. Sovereignty rests in ourselves, and instead of receiving the privileges of free citizens as a boon, which means a favor,
mm-hmm.
From the hands of our rulers, we define their powers by a constitution of our own framing, which prescribes to them that thus far they may go, but no farther.
Yeah.
All power not thus expressed, delegated, mm-hmm. that means to the government, is retained, and that means to the people.
Yeah.
So,
boy,
that where wish it was that way still today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Some of the listening audience, I'm sure, recognize what he's saying, especially at the end, where he says that they have prescribed boundaries, and all power, thus expressly delegated, is retained. Not thus expressly mm-hmm. delegated, is retained by the people.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's talking about the Tenth Amendment.
Yeah.
He's talking about what the Tenth Amendment has to say. And let me tell you, read the Tenth Amendment.
Please do.
It says, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Sure.
The Bill of Rights is really the heart of freedom in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is what this is saying, essentially, is that the government only has the rights that the people delegated to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only rights they mm-hmm, have.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't, they think that the government can do anything that it wants unless it's expressly denied by the Constitution.
Well, you see, that's important.
That is not true.
Yeah, Mike, that is so important. Please, say that again,
okay.
The last statement. Yeah, say that again.
So many people think that the Constitution gives our government the right to do anything mm-hmm. it wants to mm-hmm. do unless it's specifically denied. And yet that's not true.
Yeah.
The truth is that our government can't do anything unless it's expressly given in the Constitution.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And that means that, I don't know what percent it is, maybe 90% of what our government today is doing is not expressly mm-hmm. consented in the, given to them to do in the Constitution. And they're not allowed to do it.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between not being able to do anything unless it's expressly given in the Constitution, or doing anything that you want unless it's denied by the Constitution.
Yeah, oh, if people, see, people have to think to see the difference there. They've got to understand that there's a humongous difference between those two things, for sure. Go ahead.
Absolutely. You ask people today, if they was being sovereign, and people today don't see themselves as sovereign. In fact, they see the government as being sovereign.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The masses don't think like independent people because they've been programmed not to. You go back to the very essence and the basics of it is that the government was formed by sovereign states, by sovereign people. I mean, the state still had sovereignty in the time that it was formed. And constitutionally, they still do. And there is a big war looming about things like Obamacare, which mm-hmm. is mandated by the federal government, to what are or should be sovereign states. And now the sovereign states are, some of them, are saying, are nullifying this. This brings up the issue of nullification because what they're trying to do is say the federal government only has a specific limited boundary that it can go, mm-hmm. You can't go past that boundary, and the states are saying, now we are sovereign, you're going beyond that boundary, and we're mm-hmm. going to nullify it. That's some of the issues that are at hand
yeah.
today.
Yeah. Well, Mike, do this. We've got about 25 seconds left, but you can take a little more than that. Why don't you just wrap this up with anything you want to say? We'll close this out and look forward to next Monday and continue on, brother.
Well, I would just encourage the people that are listening, if you have a question,
yes.
To call in to Dr. Jim. We'd be glad to handle it. Or if you disagree
mm-hmm, yeah.
and you want to make a point, that's what freedom is all about.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I think that Dr. Jim, as well as myself, are open enough. If you can prove something to us, especially if from
yes.
a biblical perspective that we're wrong, we're open to change.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Because we haven't cornered the market on truth, and we're expressing what we see is truth in the Constitution mm-hmm. as well yeah. as in the Bible. And I also would encourage you to tell other people about this program if they're interested in this. And that's how you can have an impact as well.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Mike, thank you so much, brother. I appreciate you so much. And we'll be back again next Monday and continue on from here. And I pray that God will give you direction and wisdom as to when to publish this book.
Well, I'm working on it. I thank you very much for having me on, Dr. James.
Okay, thank you, buddy. Okay, bye-bye, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, we've just closed down the program with Mike, and I'm just wrapping this up. Let me pray with you. We'll close this up and be back tonight again at 7 o'clock for Monday Night Home Bible Study. Father, we thank you for Mike and his ministry in Brenham, Texas, and actually the capacity now to take this to the world through the Internet. We want people to understand where we're coming from biblically and why we're not evangelizing. We're not really talking about, Royal Family Honor Code doctrines. We're really talking about a very, very fundamental principle that you've given us, and that is the principle of freedom to resolve the angelic conflict. And I pray that people get the picture. I pray that the circumstances of their life will drive them to their knees, and they'll be sick and tired of being sick and tired of something that's not working, and that they'll turn their eyes upon you and your word. And this I pray in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. God bless you, and I'll shut down the video in 30 seconds. Okay? Bye-bye.